Our scripture reading today, again, is from Philippians chapter 4. We're getting near the end of the book of Philippians in our studies. We're going to be reading today the 4th to the 9th verses of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you ever think that God is concerned about every aspect of our lives? That there's nothing in the life of a Christian that is not a concern of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know that He's interested in our behavior. He's interested in the way we live our lives. He's interested in our worship of Him. He's interested in things like who we choose to be our friend. He's interested in the occupations that we choose, that we might be doing things that bring glory and honor to His name. He's concerned about every aspect of our lives. The passage that we're looking at today tells us that He's also concerned about the things that we think about. Isn't that amazing? That God cares about what runs through our minds. For it says in this passage, and we're going to jump down just a little bit, we're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9 today. If we look at the end of verse 8, it says, if there are any of these things, he says, dwell on these things. The word that's translated dwell here has the idea of consider, take into account, think on, use all your faculties to ponder these things. In other words, God says, I'm going to tell you what I want you to think about. Now, what we think about is a very important aspect of our lives. In Proverbs chapter 23, we read a passage that says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. You know, I've heard that passage interpreted in a way that I do not think is what the writer meant. Some people have said, well, if you think about something, you're going to become like that. Sort of like, you know, we are what we eat type thing. That's not what it says. That's not what the passage is talking about. It's not saying that if we think about something, we're going to become like that. But it's saying that what we think about is a clear indication of who we are and what we are. What we think about represents the people that we are. Now, it's interesting. You can look at me, you hear the words that I say, but you can't hear my thoughts, and I can't hear your thoughts. Our thoughts are secret simply between us and God. I don't know what you're thinking right now. You know, you could be thinking innumerable different things. You know, some people in a congregation may be thinking, gee, I hope that message isn't too long. I want to get home. There are other folks who may be thinking, well, preach it, brother. I want to hear some more of that. There are other folks who are saying, well, gee, I don't like the tie he's wearing. You know, I don't know what people are thinking. But God and you know what you're thinking. Now, of course, not just about me. I'm talking about just anything that is on our hearts. But what we think about really represents who we are and comes out in our actions. Let me give you some examples of that. There are some people who may be sitting in church today, but through their minds, they're thinking about how they dislike another person and a conflict that's been going on in their lives. And so when they leave the church, the first thing that's going to happen is they'll find a way to talk against another person. That gossiping would be an indication of the thought pattern that the person is having. You see what I'm saying? That actions then will demonstrate what you're thinking about. There may be, and you ladies I think can understand this one very clearly, there may be somebody that you know or have known in your life in the past, a man who just seemed to be such a fine, upstanding gentleman. And every time you saw him, everything seemed to be just right in terms of his relationship with people. But you found out that even though he was a married man, at an inappropriate time, he started flirting with you or somebody else and doing something that wasn't appropriate. I think most of you ladies have been through an experience like that at one time or another. And what that means is his thought patterns came out in his actions, and they were not thought patterns that ought to be there. Okay, God is saying, I care about what you're thinking. Now, on the positive side, there may be some folks who come to church, and maybe they're not in a real good mood. But what they're thinking about is how they can glorify God. And you may look at them and say, well, he doesn't look that happy today. But as he or she leaves the church, you hear comments like, I want to glorify the Lord. This has meant something to me today as I've drawn closer to God. And so you know that the thought patterns have been patterns of thought that honor and glorify the Savior. Well, Jesus here, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us there are certain things that he wants us to think about. And what I'd like to do today is to just look at a few of the categories that he looks at and understand what he wants us to think about. Now, when we do that, you may say, well, I don't have a lot of control over my thought patterns. It's just what comes into my mind. How can I control that? Well, you know, we get into habits. And our habits become, and our lives can sometimes be ordered by the habits that we have developed. Not only in the area of thought. I mean, think about this for a moment. You probably, when you wake up in the morning, do certain things habitually. Some people will start the day off by, after they've prepared themselves for the day, they'll put their socks on. You know that if you put your right sock on first, that's probably the way you always do it. Some other people put the left sock on first. But you have a habit, and you do it in a certain way, and that's been the pattern. There's some people who have the habit, the first thing that they do when they wake up in the morning is to put on a pot of coffee. And they'll drink their coffee. Don't wake up until they have a cup of coffee. Whatever it is, habits are things that we experience, that we do without thinking about it. These are just the normal things that we experience in life. But habits can be broken. Habits can be changed. And so the things that we think about can be changed as well. And God says, I want you to think on these things. Now let's take a look at some of those things. First of all, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true. God says, I want you to think about the truth. I want you to think about the truth. Now, there are a couple ways that we can look at that. First of all, by that, it obviously means we don't want to be pondering falsehoods. Because when we do, we wind up telling falsehoods. As Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to one another, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members one of the other. Truth is so important to God that he considers truth to be one of the defensive weapons that we have in our battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. God wants us to be pondering things that are true. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, I think the first way that we can ponder truth is for us to be pondering what the Word of God has to say. For we know that in the Scriptures, we're going to find truth. This is God's Word. We need to be students of the Word of God. And it should be normal for us to be thinking about the truths of God. That should be our first priority. But there's something else. I think that it's important for us to truly evaluate the things that we do in our lives. We need to look at our lives and understand what's good and what's bad. We need to understand what is according to God's Word and what is not according to God's Word. We need to ponder the truth of how we live our lives, that we might live our lives more for the glory of God. So he says, first of all, whatever is true, I want you to ponder these things. Now, the next word that's used here is the word that is translated honorable. The word actually means worthy of respect or honor. Something that is noble, something that is dignified. It's a word that implies that which is majestic, that which inspires awe. We're to be thinking about things that are honorable. You know, one of the difficulties that I think we have in our society today is that we are surrounded by things that are dishonorable. Isn't it true? We're surrounded by things like that. You know, I drive down the road in my car, and the placards that I see are often things that are not honorable. I turn on the television set, and I have to go, I don't know about you, I have to go from channel to channel to channel to find something that is honorable to look at. Something that is awe-inspiring, something that would bring honor rather than dishonor. I find that all around me and all around you, there are things that are the opposite of honorable. But God wants us to focus our thoughts on things that are honorable. So, how do we do that? Well, we need to put out of our mind those negative, dishonorable, anti-Christian things that we see around us and focus on the things of God and the things that are pleasant, the things that are good and wholesome that we can find in our lives. Yes, sometimes that creates a challenge for us in our modern day. But that's what God wants us to do, to be thinking about the honorable things. The next word he uses here is the word right. And here he's talking about things that are righteous. I think about what we read in Scripture about certain people who were righteous. For instance, we read of the man Simeon, and it says in Luke chapter 2, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. We read about Cornelius, the centurion, one who was begging to hear the message of the gospel of Christ. And it says, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man. We're to be looking for people who are righteous and patterns of life that are righteous, that we might associate with those people. And that's what we're to be thinking about. Often wonder what we think about when we think of other people. Think of this for a moment. I can guarantee you that you can find something negative about every single person that you know. Am I right? I mean, I don't care who it is, there's something that you probably won't like about that person. And some people have the habit of focusing on those things. In other words, instead of finding the good things about a person, these people are always finding the bad things about a person. Now, you've met people like that. I mean, you could find the nicest person and they will find something wrong with them. And they'll talk about what's wrong with them. God says, we're to focus on the righteous and the good things. There's something good in the life of every believer in Jesus Christ. And we can focus on those good things. Put out of our mind the negative things, because I'll tell you, my friend, they can find negative things about us too. You see, we need to be focusing on what's good about a person. One of the things that I enjoyed so much, I've known different kinds of people that I've worked for in my life. I think we've all had different kinds of bosses. I had some bosses who just had a habit of finding out what was wrong. You ever have a boss like that? I mean, you know, if you did 75 things right and one thing wrong, that boss will mention the one thing that's wrong. And I mean, it can drive you crazy. I mean, you know, I did this right, this right, this right, this right, and this right. He didn't notice one thing. Made one little mistake, and that's all he talks about. I had a boss like that one time. That was one of the most frustrating experiences. I mean, I knew that I was doing a good job. Never heard it. Always hear the negative things. Oh, and I've had other bosses where the norm was that a person would be complimented for all the good things that he or she did. That it was just a normal experience every day to be hearing, well, you did that well. I really appreciate that. Boy, you do a good job. Thank you for going the extra mile and doing this. And then when there's something negative to say, boy, it doesn't sound so bad. You've heard all these positive things. It doesn't make much of a difference. We need to be people who focus on the positives, the righteous things, the good things that we see in the lives of other people. And then he goes on to say, and I realize we're just looking at a list of things, but some of these I believe are very, very important. He says then we're to focus on whatever is pure. Whatever is pure. The word means morally pure, undefiled. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the word that was used to talk about ceremonial purification, that which is viewed as pure. In Titus chapter 2, we read that Jesus is the one who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. His work was to purify us, to make us to be pure. It was for us to be pondering those things that are morally pure. I've already said that when we look out on the world, we see things that are morally impure. In fact, that seems to be the tenor of life in our society today. There are so many things that we see that are against the Word of God that we can tend to be focusing on these things. God says, that's not the way He wants us to think. He wants us to be thinking about the pure things, the good things. Again, in the lives of fellow Christians, what about those things that are pure in the life of the people that we care about and we love? Let's think about those things. And then he goes on to say, whatever is pure, and then whatever is lovely. Lovely. Well, the word lovely, as it's used here, is a word that can mean acceptable, pleasing, beautiful, something that refers to that which is attracted by the grace of God, that which indicates grace, something that's lovely. Well, there are things that I consider to be lovely. My wife is one of them. I mean, to me, she's absolutely lovely, and I love looking at her. We have paintings in our home that I look at, and they're lovely. I love walking outside and seeing the flowers that grow, the beauty of the creation of God. This is something that's lovely. I like also to see my friends and to see the loveliness in their lives. As I get to know them better and see how God has brought out that which is lovely and attractive. And I don't just mean physically attractive. I'll tell you something. Some of the most lovely people I've ever met are people who are not particularly physically attractive. I can remember one lady who was lovely. An older woman. Well, from my perspective at that time, I was in my 20s, so to me at that time, she was an older woman. She was one who had some physical problems. You looked at her and you feel sorry for her because of the pain that she experienced in her life. But what you saw was a spirit of beauty in this person. There was such a sense of love. It was, you know, she was not my mother. She was old, probably old enough almost to be my grandmother at the time. But when I would see her, it was almost as if here was somebody who wanted to just throw her arms around me and gobble me up and take care of me. The sweetest spirit. Someone who was lovely. God says, I want you to think about those things. Do you know why we think about those things? Because as we think about those things, we realize that there's a part of us that God has placed within us that's like that. And we can be lovely. And we can have that kind of an impact on the life of those who are around us, that they can look at us and regardless of our physical appearance, whether we happen to be physically attractive or not, that's irrelevant. They see a loveliness in us. The loveliness of a caring Christian spirit. And then he goes on to say, whatever is of good repute. That which has a good reputation. You know, when I think of that which has a good reputation, I think of the founding of the group that we call today the deacons in a church. You know how the board, so-called board of deacons started in the early church. We read about it in the book of Acts in chapter 6. There was a problem that was going on in the church. You know, that they had problems in the early church too. It seemed as if that one group of widows was not being taken care of as well as another group of widows. And there was a conflict that was developing in the early church. In those days, there was no such thing as Social Security or any of the other programs that we have today. And the church was responsible for caring for the people who were in need. And so widows were taken care of in the church. And the apostles decided that there was a need for a group of people who would care for and take care of these special things, like taking care of the widows and dealing with the distribution of food and doing other things that were necessary. And their qualifications, and I want you to think about this for a moment. Their qualifications, the main qualification, was that they were men of a good reputation. Now you might say, why? What difference did it make? All they're doing is handing out food to the folks who needed it. Why do they need to have a good reputation? For those who are going to serve in the church, those who are going to do things that will honor the Lord, need to be seen as people who live godly lives. They need to be people with a good reputation. And so we read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, where they're picking these people. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. God's saying that even the little things in the church, they're not folks who are going to get up and preach the Word of God. They're not people who are going to have the responsibility primarily for evangelism, although they did evangelistic work. But they were to be the ones who would take care of the poor and distribute things to those who were in need. He said, for that job, we need someone of good reputation. And God says that we're to be thinking of that which is of good repute, that which is good in terms of its reputation. But we could go on and on. God is describing these things. Now let's just quickly look at the others. He says, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, he tells us then, dwell on these things. God is, in effect, asking us a question today. What do we think about? And I began by saying, I don't know what you think about, because I can't see what's in your mind. And you don't know what I think about. I mean, for all you know, I could be standing up here thinking about all kinds of bad things. You don't know that. I'm not. But, you know, you don't know that. And I don't know what you're thinking about. But God does. God knows what's in our minds and in our hearts. And if we're to be the kind of people who will truly glorify the Lord Jesus, he says that those things that we have just talked about, those things that we have just described, we're to focus on those things. And as I said before, the word that's used here has the idea of considering carefully, reckoning, taking into account, thinking on them. One commentator said that it's to use your faculties on them. In other words, really make a serious effort to focus your mind on these beautiful, wonderful, glorious things. And I'll tell you something, that aspect of our lives that God has placed within us will come out so others can see it. For what we think will be demonstrated in how we live. I ask you a question. I ask two questions. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Is he your Savior? If you don't know him, I challenge you to trust in him today. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? God cares about what you do. God cares about how you live. God cares about your worship. But God also cares about what you think about. He cares about that. And we need to develop the habit of thinking of those things that honor and glorify the name of our Savior. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you today for loving us. We want to thank you today for caring so much about us that you care about everything in our lives. You care about how we live. You care about our worship. You care about how we behave before the world and before fellow Christians. And our Lord, you care about what runs through our minds. We ask our Father
give us pure hearts and minds, that we might be devoting ourselves to things that will honor you, that your name might be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do, that truly we might say in the words of the hymn that we're about to sing, all the way my Savior leads me. Jesus doeth all things well, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. We are the ones who are to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Help us to develop patterns of thought that will honor you. This we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.